Good morning. Hear me okay? Okay, are you guys nervous? I'm nervous. All right. All right, so before I get started, I want to say my mom's in the building today. So everyone say hi, Mom. By basic rules of hospitality, because she's here, you have to be extra nice to me. Jennifer? All right, let's start by praying. Father God, we are just so gracious that you allow us this time to spend with you, Father God. We ask that you fill this place with your Spirit, and we just ask that more of you enter us and less of us sustain us, Father God. We pray this in your name. Amen. All right, so also a little nervous because I don't have a PowerPoint today. It's always my my safety net. So starting tomorrow, I'm going to start getting up around 4 a.m., spend about a half an hour with the Lord, go to the gym, work out, come home, shower, make breakfast for my family, go to work. Kind of like what Michael alluded to there. What you guys would say is, I'll believe that when I see it, right? I'm not doing that. That was... But see, when I was not quite a Christian yet, when I was kind of on that journey to become one, I would always say that I was waiting for that sign to happen. I needed to see that. Needed to see something before I could believe it. See, I have this book right here, right? And in this book, all kinds of stories, many very unbelievable stories. There's a story about these three young men who got thrown in a furnace. The furnace was so hot that the person who threw them in the furnace died. But these three young men didn't. They danced and they left the furnace unscathed. It defies the laws of nature, physics, everything. There's another story. I don't know if you guys heard this one. Stop, you've heard it before. There's a man who built an ark. And this ark was big enough to house two of every animal in the entire world. And not only are we supposed to believe that he built an ark big enough to do that, but he was able to go around and collect two of every animal, male and female, and put them on this ark. There are 2,300 different species of praying mantises. Another story about a man who got thrown off a boat, got eaten by a giant fish, survived in the stomach of this fish, eventually got spit up on shore, and he was fine. These are just that's just a sample of the unbelievable, amazing stories in this book. Now, if I was going to believe this book, I was going to have something unbelievable happen in my own life. I wanted to see my burning bush. Now, I love magic. I love watching magic specials. There's a special on Netflix called Magic for Humans. It's amazing. These people, they go around, they do all this street magic. And these magic tricks are unbelievable. But I know they're not magic. I know they're doing something within the laws of physics. I just don't know how they're doing it. So, hey, buddy. I don't know how they're pulling these magic tricks off, but I know they're not actually doing magic. They're just masters of deception. So as a young, not quite yet there Christian, I was going to need a lot of convincing, because if David Blaine couldn't make me believe in magic, you know, good luck, Jesus. Sorry about the distraction there, guys. So Jesus' time on earth was full of just miraculous signs. And now it's important that we refer to these things as signs, because what a sign does, a sign points to something with a deeper meaning. The exit sign right there, it is pointing to the way out of the church. And when you're driving on the highway, you're going to have an exit sign, right? So it's going to tell you where you're getting off the highway. Now, if you saw the exit sign, it was 2 miles away, you get up 2 miles, and there's no off-ramp, that sign was completely meaningless. And if we just stop at the sign, we may get a resource, but we'll never receive the blessing that sign was meant to give us. I'm going to repeat that if we stop at the sign alone, we will never fully receive the blessing that the sign was meant to give us. So in the book of John, there's seven different signs that Jesus did recorded. In chapter 4, he heals the official son. In chapter 5, he heals the paralyzed man at the pool of Bethesda. Chapter 6, he feeds the 5,000 and later on walks on water. Chapter 9, he heals the blind man. In chapter 11, he raises Lazarus from the grave. Now, all these feats were not humanly possible. They weren't natural. And if you were counting, that was only 6. Said there were 7 in there, so I skipped one. So, if you would, I want to talk about a wedding today. In honor of Valentine's Day this past Thursday, let's talk about a wedding. Is that okay? Can we talk about a wedding, guys? It's too bad if you didn't want to, because we're talking about a wedding. So, if you could, turn to John chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 1. This was at the very beginning of Jesus' public ministry, day 3, in fact. So on the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." So as just a side note, at my wedding, before the wedding party got to the reception, we ran out of wine. Tamara's friends drank all the wine. But we were able to purchase more. It was no big deal. Now, in this day, in this culture, in a Middle Eastern Jewish wedding feast, running out of wine would have been a huge deal. The host has a certain amount of social obligation. So, say, for instance, you invited me to a wedding last year. And at that wedding, you fed me lavishly. I had all the wine I could drink. And then you came to my wedding, and we ran out of food or wine. That would have been seen as a huge disgrace. The marriage would have been a disgrace. And you would have been an outcast in your culture. Also, it is believed that if you ran out of a resource like that, your wedding guests had they could sue you. There were legal actions they could take for damages. Now, yeah, talk about love your neighbor, right? So in that culture, wine was also a symbol for joy. So running out of wine on your wedding feast would have meant you ran out of joy before your marriage even got started. And that would say that your marriage was going to... It was a disgrace, and there was no joy in your wedding. That's what you have to look forward to. Adam, taking notes? Got it. Okay. Extra wine. So what are you running out of? Or what are you scared of running out of? Are you scared of running out of time? I know I never have enough time in the day. I stay up much later than I should because I'm trying to get those couple little hours extra, and I'm always tired. I'm scared of running out of time with my boys. They're 3 and 6, but I promise you, a week ago, Ellis was born. They're growing up very quick, and I fear I'm running out of time with them. Who's afraid of running out of money? Everybody, right? And money is funny because, like, when you don't have money, you don't fear running out of it. But as you get it and as you accumulate more, you become more dependent on it, and that fear intensifies. Are you running out of hope? Are you in a season of discouragement? You just feel all the hope and joy being drained from you, and you're scared. Are you running out of love or scared of running out of love? Is your relationship, is your marriage in a rut, and you're just scared that maybe that love will run out one day? Did you this past Thursday, did you just kind of get a card and a flower and say, "Happy Valentine's Day"? I'm scared of running out of all the things that my family needs from me. So it's a little bit of everything there. And so at this wedding, they ran out of a resource. So when the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Now I want to pause for a second, because if you blink, you miss some wisdom here, right? When the crisis happened, remember, this is day 3 into Jesus' ministry. When crisis happened, Mary went to Jesus first. She didn't go in and talk to anybody else. She didn't say, hey, where can we go get some wine? No, she went to Jesus first. She didn't know what to do, but she knew who to go to. And Jesus said to her, and now here I want to stop also and say that I do not recommend addressing your mother or your wife this way. But and Jesus said to her, woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. And also, just like a mother, completely ignored her son and said, and his mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. Now, there were 6 stone water jars there for Jewish rites of purification. Now, these big stone water jars for purification, there's a ritual that whenever you would walk into a wedding feast like this, you would pour some running water, or they called it living water, over your hands, and that would purify your hands, and you can go in and you can eat. You're pure at that point. Every guest that arrived at this wedding feast would have walked through, and they would have used this water, and they would have purified their hands. Every guest would have used the water in those pots, and then they would have forgotten about those water pots. There was nothing special about these water pots. They were very ordinary. Now, there were 6 water jars there for Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water, and they filled them to the brim. Now, that's somewhere between 120 and 180 gallons of water that we're going to turn into wine here. That would equate to somewhere between 800 and 1,000 bottles of wine. Again, repeat that again. 800 to 1,000 bottles of wine. Now, I don't know how many guests were at that wedding, but I'm going to go ahead and make the assumption that that was more than enough. And I know it's more than enough because our God is a God of more than enough. And he said to them, now draw out some and take it to the master of the feast. So they took it. Now, up to this point, the servants had a really easy job. There was no real consequence for what they were doing. They were just taking water and filling up these giant water jars. But now they are told to go ahead and take a little bit of that water out and go take it to your boss. Have him taste the wine. These servants all knew what was in the jars because they just put the water in the jars. Now, the scripture didn't say, now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast. And they asked, are you sure? Aren't we missing some ingredients? It didn't say, now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast. And then they tasted it before they took it to the master of the feast. It simply said, so they took it. But these servants were called to walk in faith, and they did so without asking a question, without having to sample what they were doing. Now, we were just given 2 really great examples that are easily missed of how to walk with God. So don't blink because you will miss these. So when there was a crisis, Mary went to Jesus first. And when the servants were told what to do, they did it without question. Now when the master of the feast tasted the water now become wine and didn't know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom, said to him, everyone serves the good wine first, but when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now. Now, there's so much packed in those first 10 verses. But I do want to kind of focus on this next verse, verse 11. This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and the disciples believed in him. So who saw the sign? The master of the feast didn't. The bride and groom didn't. Mary didn't see it. That was between Jesus, the disciples, and some servants. And so why did he do it? Because remember, a sign without meaning is pointless. And if we would have just stopped at the sign, yes, the wedding would have had wine. But there would have been no meaning to that wine. The wine would have been used up or thrown out, and there would have been, and we would have been forgotten. The sign would have been pointless. Was the groom a family friend? Did they grow up together? Were they childhood friends? Was this wedding something important? Was it an important event? You know, what we do know is that if it was important, it would have been listed in there. This is a wedding. Nothing more. Was Jesus caught off guard by this wedding running out of wine? I'm going to say probably not. I'm going to use the logic of if we fast forward a little bit to John 6, when Jesus was going to feed the 5,000, when they saw the crowd coming, Jesus turns to Philip and says, "Where are we going to find bread for all these people?" But he said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Like, we're not fooling Jesus. We're not getting one over on Jesus. Jesus knows. He could have brought more wine to that wedding with him. He knew the wine would run out. So why did Jesus perform this sign? Now, there are many reasons why he could have done it. But we're going to stay with what Scripture actually tells us. That he did it for his disciples. That they needed to see this. This manifested his glory. Like, had Jesus told Philip while they're walking to the wedding, says, "Hey, in a few hours, I'm going to turn water into wine." I'm going to guess that Philip probably would have been like, "You know, I'll believe that when I see it." Much like me going to the gym at 4 o'clock in the morning. Now, how was this sign done? Jesus used these water jars that everybody walked by, that everybody used to purify their hands, and everybody ignored. See, we live in this place where we always want to live in the extraordinary. Our social media feeds are always full of people who are on these lavish vacations or eating in these amazing restaurants or celebrating these milestones, and we look at our own lives and we say, "Man, my life is ordinary." Tamara likes to tell me that we should move to Hawaii. And you know, how great would it be to live in paradise? But the problem with moving to Hawaii and living in paradise is that paradise then eventually becomes ordinary. You know, you're going to get tired of living on an island. You're going to start to miss your family and friends you left behind. You're going to get tired of eating spam. In our case, Tamara would get so tired of the amount of aloe that we'd have to buy because I would keep forgetting to put sunscreen on my head and I'd just be burnt. Right? If Jesus only acted in the extraordinary, if he only acted in the supernatural, then we wouldn't have to walk in faith because we would have this extraordinary example in front of us. Jesus didn't use anything out of the ordinary to do something extraordinary. He didn't use something supernatural. He used something very natural and he made it super. He used something that was mostly ignored and turned it into something unforgettable. So what is your wine? What are you running out of? And where is your water jug? Because chances are you already have what you need and you already know what to do. You know, if you're worried about running out of money or saving for retirement, buying a Dave Ramsey book isn't going to help you. See, when you don't know what to do, and you do what you know, you will then figure out what to do. We are all much smarter than we give ourselves credit for. Most of us. So what are you running out of? Are you running out of joy? Maybe you should drink more wine. Or maybe you just need to read Philippians. I don't know. We tend to look for the burning bush, and then we tend to miss what God is doing in the ordinary. Now, I need a lot of grace on this one here, okay? I'm speaking for myself, and maybe other guys can understand this, but I myself am always seeking to be a better husband, a better father, a better leader of my family. And so what do most of us do when we try to do that? We might find a men's seminar to go to, right? We join a men's group. We start reading a men's devotional in the morning. And where all those things are good, we're missing the water jar we have at home. Like, why are we looking outside of our marriage to help fix our marriage or become a better husband to our marriage. We have our wives at home. But the longer you've been married, chances are your wife is becoming more and more ordinary. We stop listening, we stop asking questions, we stop appreciating. We have the best resource waiting at home for us. I think for me it's a pride thing. I don't always like it when my wife is right, because that usually means that I am wrong. And I don't like being wrong, so I'll go outside and I'll look for what experts tell me to do instead of just, again, listening to and I'm not going to call my wife a water jar, but listening to my resource at home. So we're constantly looking for signs and answers in extraordinary places. And we need something supernatural to show us the way. But far more often than when Jesus gives us a sign, it's going to be nearby and it's going to be natural. And the only way that we're going to be able to consistently see these signs is to do what we already know. We need to walk in relationship with Him. But the closer that we are to Him, the less common those signs will be. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for all that you do for us, Father God. We thank you that you work in our lives even when we don't have the eyes to see it, Father God. We ask that you give us just the passion to seek you further, Father God. We ask that you help us see what you're revealing to us on a day-to-day basis, Father God. We ask that we don't take your blessings for granted, that we respect every single one of them, Father God. And by doing this, we know that we will walk more in your grace. Pray this in your name. Amen. All right, thank you guys. And we have coffee, carbohydrates, and conversation downstairs. Child Care by Christina. I'm doing what is it when you keep using the same sound? I'm using the C words. Alliteration? Okay, alliteration. Thank you, Jennifer. Yeah, so we have Child Care downstairs, coffee, donuts, sermon discussion. Tamara's going to do things with the teens. So, thank you very much. Can't stay. Have a great week. Go in peace.